Okay, these guys done the best they could, but they didn't get it right. I appreciate it. There's folks sitting on the back row of the balcony. And I have to pull it way back here so they can see me. About all they can see is my head. All that's all they need, because that's the part that's going to be doing the talking. I hope my head's in it. Get this thing right in a minute. Okay. All right, maybe that'll do. All right, I want you to open your Bible to just a short verse in the Psalms. I want you to go to Psalm 68. I was looking through one of my old Bibles. I've got several that I have got the pages falling out of. In fact, some of the pages have gotten mixed up in it and so on. But I was looking through one of them, just picked it up off the desk there. I never throw one away. I would never do that. So they're still around. I got the first one that my girlfriend bought me before we got married. And it'll snow on you if you pick it up. All the pages, the edges have gotten so rotten, I guess. But all those are important. And I was looking at a verse that I had jump out at me in Psalm 68 in the very early years. And I had it marked in that old Bible. And I'd like to encourage you to mark it. And we're going to talk about it a little bit. And maybe some other verses will come. But just, I'm going to pretty much leave the prophecy thing alone. I'm going to leave the fact that the month has got a lot of exciting things predicted for it. Some more dates coming. Obviously, the rapture didn't take place on Rosh Hashanah, so I'm disappointed. But it'll come when it gets ready. Right. It may be on Rosh Hashanah. It may not be. Don't have to be. And so we don't want to get hung up on things like that. But it is an amazing month, and some unusual things are happening. I hope you noticed in the news, they're really rolling out the red carpet for the Pope at the UN meeting. And just a lot of various things. And the UN is supposed to put out their new world agenda. They've already got it, and of course the whole thing and the Pope and all of it is to put the one world system together. That's what the whole plan is. But that's not my subject tonight. I want you to look at verse 11 of Psalm 68. And just mark it, just one verse. The Lord gave the word. Great was the company of those that published it. Now, at first, you said, well, think about it a little bit. The Lord gave the word. That's where it come from. Great was the company of those that published it. Now, we're part of that company that has published the word of God. I'm amazed how the word of God is so spiritually fits all the way through. Now, there's just a verse, kind of almost you'd isolate it out of the 68th Psalm, but it shows you the Bible was written by somebody that had the whole big picture in view. And so here you have a statement here that just comprehends, just in a nutshell, so to speak, the whole thing concerning the Bible or the Word of God. Now, the Word of God is our authority. Now, as a preacher, I have no authority other than the Word of God. Amen. And sometimes, oh yeah, in the flesh, I wish I had a lot more authority. I'd put somebody in jail or I'd do something, you know. But I don't have that authority. I only have the authority the Word of God gives me in the position that I'm in. Sometimes I've had, especially young people sometimes, you know, they come to church and and they're in a Christian family and good, and they begin to look up to the preacher and they begin to almost think that in their little minds sometime that the preacher can make it happen. And so sometimes they'll come tattle on somebody to me, like, get them, preacher. And By the way, it's not always the young kids that do that either. Sometimes it's adults. And I have to say, hey, I can't make anybody do anything. I can tell them what's the right way, but my whole authority is what the Bible says, what the Word of God says. A lot of times, and be careful about this, when you rebel against what you heard the preacher say, you might not be even rebelling against him. You might be rebelling against the word that he shared with you. Amen? You know, human beings, we have tendency to look up to other human beings. Some of you young people, you got posters on your bedroom wall that's not worth paper they're written on. You ought to have Bible heroes instead of world heroes. But anyway, with that said, we all have a tendency to do that. That's what keeps Hollywood in business. Oh, I could get off on that so easy. Remember those folks that get worshiped out in Hollywood? They're all pretenders. They pretend to be a hero in the movie. Truth is, that stuff's so faked up, they're not heroes. They're not doing nothing but following a script. So they're pretenders. Why don't you find somebody that's doing something real? Like a missionary or somebody serving God that's really doing a job. That's the heroes, amen? Anyway, that's the attitude people have. A lot of people have good attitude toward their doctor. You know, there's a certain few folks in the world you trust. You get on that airplane to fly somewhere, you're trusting the pilot. And once you sit down, that's it. You ain't nothing else you can do. I've been on a few when I was trusting above the pilot. I was trusting the Lord when a motor went out or something. But anyway, people trust their doctors, don't they? And it's good if you can. You know, it's an attitude, though. Sometimes it ought to spill over even to your preacher. Somebody said the doctor tells you to change your lifestyle to lower your blood pressure. The pastor tells you to change your lifestyle and it raises your blood pressure. You understand what that means? You trust the doctor but not the preacher. Well, that's human nature. But the word is the key. And think on this verse with me just a little bit. The Lord gave the word and great was the company that published it. Now, he gave the word. Now, most of you know our stand and our stand on the King James Bible because we've seen God use it and prove it. We know where it came from. By the way, somebody says, well, we didn't have any word of God until the King James Bible come out. What we have in the King James Bible is what was preserved by the priesthood of believers from the New Testament on. Amen. And reached its peak of being spread around the world because of the King James translation. Right. Civilization has followed the Word of God all over this globe. And the big trouble spots in the world today, many of them did have the Word of God and rejected it. Yeah. Romans chapter 1 talks to you about that. And that's much of what is evil in the world today. But in the beginning, God gave the word. Did he give the word to Moses on Mount Sinai? We think about the Ten Commandments. Yes, yes. Exodus 19 there in a few places is tremendous. The word of God came from God. By the way, don't worry about the word of God being copied and having lost something in its copying. Do you know when Moses went up to the Mount the second time, he brought a copy down? Remember what happened to the original Ten Commandments? He got mad and broke them with the people dancing around the golden calf down at the bottom, remember? God said, that's all right, I give it to you again. You remember the story over there in the book of Jeremiah where Jeremiah predicted that Babylon was coming and taking them away into captivity and Zedekiah the king didn't like it? And so when the scribes brought him what the prophet Jeremiah had said, he took his penknife out and cut the pages out and put them in the fireplace and burned them. That's all in your Bible. Right. And those scribes didn't want the king to do it. They were fearful. They knew it was the word of God. But he done it anyway. So the word got back to Jeremiah, and Jeremiah said to the Lord, and you know what the Lord said? That's okay, I'll give it to you again. And he did, and you got it in your Bible. Book of Jeremiah,
yes, sir,
is a copy, not the original, not the first one. But God even added to it when he gave it to him the second time. And so God gave the word, this text says. God gave the word. That's true all through the Old Testament. In my early background, and many of you have heard it, even when I would have told somebody I didn't believe the Bible was the word of God, and I never even heard that terminology, I knew it was special. I knew it was something different about it. I knew it bothered me inside when no other book did. And as a lost boy, I understood that. And I knew it was different. And when I got saved, I knew what it was then for sure. It was the word of God. And I believe that. Now, you and I are living, I said I wouldn't get off on it much, but you and I are living in the greatest proof of the word of God there's ever been, and that's in our age, because we, of all people, have got a longer road behind us to look at than any Christians that's ever lived. And as we look at that hind trail, we can see all the predictions that came and was fulfilled and still happening today, even as we see Russia and Korea and Iran and all that bunch get together to do just what the Bible said they were going to do. They're going to do just exactly. And I said to them, I think maybe Sunday night, they can't help themselves. God put hooks in their jaws. They're going to fulfill. He's going to pull them in just like he said, because they crossed a line with him, and his judgment is going to fall on them. And it's interesting times. I know you've seen the news where the little boy leader in Korea, he's a little couch potato, plays video games and watches TV and has people killed and ordered around, and it generally shows him watching his missiles being shot or something else. And so he's threatening America now that he's going to send them over here against us. And by the way, some of our leadership is taking him pretty serious, because he's just big enough fool maybe to do something like that. But if he does, and if Russia and Iran and Syria all get together like it looks like they are, then that's just Bible being fulfilled. I've shown you before where the city of Damascus in Syria is going to be destroyed. You know where a lot of these refugees are coming now across the border, trying to get into Europe, trying to get over here? They're coming out of Damascus, Syria, because it's for the first time, the oldest, perhaps the oldest city known in the world is the city of Damascus. Paul was on the road to Damascus, remember, Acts chapter 9, when God struck him down and saved him. Some believe that as far back as the city might have had a beginning, as far back as the first sons of Adam. And self there also might have been in the founding of that city. Now, they don't know it for sure, but it's got tombs of the prophets. I think I may be wrong. I believe it's Ezekiel's tomb that's there, but there's several of them. They're very concerned now that the Muslims are coming in and destroying all those holy places way back through thousands of years of history. But anyway, the prophecy of that city's destruction is written by Isaiah in the Bible. And guess what? It's going to happen, and you and I may watch it right over the news. Right now, with Russia coming into Syria, there's going to be a big fight right in that area of Damascus. And you ought to pray for there's a lot of Christians there, and a lot of folks don't know this. But I get some, actually some information from over there every now and then. I've told you before about William Murray. He writes, he's the son of atheist Madeline Madden O'Hare, Murray O'Hare, whatever her name was. You know who I'm talking about? She's the one got prayer out of the school. She used Bill, when he was young, as a kid in the classroom, as an excuse to go before the Supreme Court and get prayer removed from the school. God must have a sense of humor. Boy got grown up, saved, and now serving God. And it just amazes me. And he's very informed, and he's over there in Syria some and Washington, D.C. a lot, and he is helping out those people. And through him and others, you find out, if you go back far enough, Syria was almost a Christian country. It certainly wasn't Muslim. And it was Christian a long time before Muhammad ever had his bottle taken away from it. I mean, way back. And yet Islam has come along and with the sword killed them, and still are killing them by the thousands, literally. And that's Bible being fulfilled, the word of God. God gave it. God gave it. Now, notice what he goes on here to say. Great was the company of those that published it. And I've thought about that, and of course I've studied it a lot. People like Wycliffe and Tyndall and men that died to give the word of God to us in English where we could understand it. Take it away from the religious order of the day and preserve it for us. And from you go back and read their testimonies and read where, who was it, John Huss that was being burned at the stake. And one of the last words he said was, God opened the eyes of the King of England. And that king turned out to be King James, who had his eyes open and allowed us to have the King James Bible as we have it. So it's a great company that published it. I mean, if you study the martyrs, you study the price that was paid, that you and I could just freely open this book, that's something. It really is. Matthew 28, the Great Commission, you hear it all the time as we talk missions, going to all the world. Preach the gospel to every creature, and it says, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. Now, that's the word of God. That's publishing the word of God. When a missionary takes it to the field, he's publishing it where he's speaking it, whether he's writing it. And we're doing the same thing here as a church. It goes out over our radio. It goes out through our missionaries. It goes out, of course, over our pulpits. It goes out in our Christian school. It goes out in our college. What we're doing, we're getting the word of God out. It's the answer. And don't think it's not having an effect. We're going to find out when the rapture takes place, a lot of people were saved that a lot of folks didn't think they were because they heard the word of God. Every now and then, even on the news media, even some of the liberals will slip up and say something that makes me wonder what they know. Did you see, and I think I told you about this when it happened, did you see on the news up around New York, Washington, where it was, it must have been New York, they flashed the cameras up in the air, and it looked like floating human beings up in the air. Did you see that? It was a design of men up in the air. And I forget now whether it was kites or balloons or what it was. It was very authentic looking, as up above the skyscrapers, just a man, more than one, floating around up there. Kind of like you see the skydivers, but there was no parachutes. And they were up in the air, and they were not coming down fast like a skydiver would. And so it's interesting sometimes. See, most of what you see is edited and it's already been taped. But every now and then you catch the live stuff, and this was live, as they put the cameras on it. And this one woman on the news, and I wish I could remember which one it was, she said, oh my God, that looks like the rapture. I thought, uh-huh, you know a little something, don't you? And it did look that way. Or what? So she slipped it out. It wasn't in her script to say that. That was not on her teleprompter. But it popped out. Can you imagine what's going to pop out when it does happen? Amen. But anyway, great was the company that published it. I'm glad that my ministry has had a part in publishing the Word of God. Now, over here at Curriculum, we've printed New Testaments before. We've had others print them, and we've taken them by the box load to the mission field, and we've done that and still doing that all the time. Well, we're publishing the Word of God. We're getting it out. We know it's the answer, and it's the only answer. And I'm proud of the fact that that we do that here at Landmark. and sending it out. I mentioned the curriculum a while ago and the good review we had there. And they mentioned the King James Bible in it. Now, there's some other curriculum that uses only the King James Bible, but I actually started the college years ago over the issue that I was sending my students somewhere else where they were not using the King James Bible, and they would come back with doubts that the Bible was the Word of God. That's how we started the college to start with, and we never changed from that. Same thing with the curriculum. We would never have used or referenced or gave any credibility to anything else. And so it's important. There's some others that do so, and there's some others that slip up every now and then and backtrack on it. And we don't do that. We stick with it. Now, we've sent it around the world, and I'm thrilled that we're still able to do that. And by the way, if you pick up one of those copies that I was talking about a while ago back there, if you know anybody that's in the homeschooling, you ought to share that with them. We have a lot of students on homeschooling, have Christian schools on it. A lot of missionaries could not do what they're doing if it was not for our curriculum. And we're incorporating it more and more in our own school here. And we're very proud to do that. When we were so big in number, 400 students, it was pretty hard to supply us. But now that we're not that big, we are growing back. I heard tonight a couple more students coming. Now we're moving more and more into it. And I'll be honest with you also. Number one, I know it's true to the Word of God. I know it's true to Baptist history. And then number three, perhaps not the biggest item, it's a lot less expensive than some of the others, and that is a big thing. When we had our troubles and our school went down here a couple of years ago, except for the church being willing to bleed, we'd had to close the school. And I made some changes, and I know there were some predictions that said, they're going to close. I even probably had a few teachers leave and find some other place because they thought they're going to have to close. But I never said we would close. I always said I was going to trust God, and I'm very thrilled that I did. But in figuring the expenses up, and I asked Brother Baker about this not long, just a few days ago. We've spent around $40,000 on BECA curriculum. It's a good curriculum. It's pretty much first class, but it's human made, so it has some human errors in it too, like anything except the Bible does. But you think about $40,000 when the school is just barely trying to struggle along, then you'll understand why some of them had to close. That's a lot of money. But our own curriculum, we'd probably do it for a fourth of that. So why in the world wouldn't we use as much of it as we could? Of course we will, and rightfully so. And it's good. And that little review thing reminded me of that tonight. I'm glad to be a part of a ministry that publishes the Word of God. We spread it. That's what I'm talking about. We get it out everywhere we can, all over the world. And it's the answer. It's the answer. It's the only answer. And it's the need of our day and time. Now, one day, our church will answer for how we treated the Word of God. Amen. Did we spread it? Did we believe it? Did we use it? Did we send it? Or did we just kind of take it for granted and any old thing will do? One of the things that, this is Wednesday night, about the only chance I have kind of talk to you somewhat as a church family without the whole world listening in, and some of them still able to do it. But anyway, I think about this truth here, that we as a church, we want to spread the Word of God everywhere that we can. One day, we'll be judged by the Lord on how we treated His word. And I want to challenge you personally on that. How do you treat it? When somebody leaves my church, now, if they leave because they don't like me for whatever reason, that's one thing. But please, don't go somewhere where the Word of God's not honored, amen, where it's not held in its purity, amen, where they can accept whether it says virgin birth or young maid, whether or not the blood is cut out of the version they use or not. I mean, that amazes me how I can have people sit in my congregation and say amen when I'm talking about the Word of God and then go somewhere where it's not honored like that. Yeah, come on. That does amaze me, and it does happen. It does happen. The Bible says in the last day there'll be a famine. I want you to look at this verse, and then I'll quit. It's a little bit harder for you to find. Go over to the little book of Amos. little book of Amos, and I want you to find chapter 8. This is a prediction now, and I see it. In other words, I'd say this, 30 years ago, 40 years ago, you could see this coming, but not to the degree it is today. It has arrived. And so I'm asking you to go to Amos. If you get up to Obadiah, you go back. If you get to Jonah, you go back to your left. A little book of Amos, chapter 8. Here's a prediction that's going to come. It's a famine prediction. Let me read it to you. Verse 11, Amos chapter 8. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land. Not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of the hearing of hearing the words of the Lord. That famine is growing all the time. Sadly, this book I'm speaking to you from tonight could become an outlawed book because it's not politically correct. It's still got the word sodomite in it. It still calls sin, sin. It's not brainwashed. And so what's going to happen? Already, candidate Hillary said the churches need to change their doctrine. One or two of the others have said that we need to change what the Bible has to say about sin. That's what they want. Now, they already got all kind of watered down versions out there, perversions. Right. Understand that. But there's been at least two preachers, one in Sweden, one in Canada, that went to jail overnight for publishing what the King James Bible said about homosexuality in the newspaper. They didn't say they said it, they just put the scripture in there. And yet they went to jail because they were spreading hate. Now, I'm thankful to God that we've still been able to be true to the book. We're going to keep being true to it. Amen. And I'm glad I'm part of that company that publishes the Word of God. Yes, God gave it, but He says, great, was the company that published it. So, let's keep it up, amen. Now, let me give this little statement. We have the Word of God, but the next question is, are we sharing it? Are we giving it out? Are we using it? If not, we might as well not have it if we don't use it. So when it comes to soul winning times, if you can go, you ought to go. If you can't go at that time, go when you can go. Amen. And when you do have a chance to speak and talk to somebody, talk to them. Hey, the world don't have the answer, and they know they don't have the answer.